All right, thank you very much. Let's begin today's presentation. Today, we welcome you to a spotlight on Finland for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. My name is Carlene Velez, and I'm an Outreach and Recruitment Specialist at the Institute of International Education. I'm joined by my two colleagues, Emmy Jillikainen, who is a Fulbright Specialist with the Fulbright Finland Foundation, and Lisa Weimer, who is the Assistant Director for Strategic Partnerships, also at the Fulbright Finland Foundation. We also are excited to have two alumni on our webinar. We have Katia Confortini, who is the Associate Professor of Peace and Justice Studies at Wellesley College, and Joshua Pierce, who is the Richard Witt Professor at the College of Engineering at Michigan Technological University. Before we begin, I do want to let you know that we have the chat box that allows for questions. So at any time during the presentation, please feel free to chat your questions in the box, because we hope to have 20 to 25 minutes at the end of the presentation to be able to do questions and answers with any of the participants on the webinar. First, I'd like to start by talking a little bit about the mission and history of the Fulbright Program. So the Fulbright Program is the U.S. government's flagship international and educational exchange program that has been around for nearly 75 years. We are very proud of the program. We have partnerships with over 160 countries worldwide, and we offer opportunities for educators, professionals, artists, journalists, lawyers to conduct research and to teach abroad, with the whole idea of fostering mutual understanding between nations, advancing knowledge across communities, and improving lives around the world. The Fulbright Program works hard to promote diversity and inclusion in all of their programs. As such, we encourage people from all walks of society to apply to the program, because our mission and goal is to have people who receive Fulbright Awards represent the diversity of the American population abroad. And so please do know that this is something not only that we say, but we actively do, because we strive to recruit people from underrepresented institutions and different groups so that we can really make sure that America is represented in all of its diversity around the world. A little bit about Fulbright by the numbers. The thing about Fulbright that is so exciting is that we have about 8,000 awards annually. And if you look at this list, you can see that about 800 of those awards are for U.S. scholars and administrators, and I'd also add professionals to that group. And so that is the group that we're talking to today. To date, we have almost 390,000 Fulbrighters who have participated in the program since its inception in 1946. So if you receive a Fulbright Award, you become part of this larger group of Fulbrighters who have this connection throughout their career. The basic eligibility for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program is that you do need U.S. citizenship. After that, your degree and your experience will differ by the award description. So many awards require a PhD or a terminal degree. Others allow people with an MA or higher education teaching experience to apply, and still others allow professionals and artists to apply. You do need to comply with the Fulbright policies that can be found on our website, which is the most important of which is a two-year waiting period if you have received a previous Fulbright in between the application for a next Fulbright. When you are selecting the right award, it's really important to match your expertise and experience to the award description. And you also want to find a way to demonstrate how your project is relevant to the host country and host community, and how they can benefit from the project and how you will benefit from the project. As we go through the presentation here about Fulbright Finland, you can see that we have broken up the awards by career level and by the type of career that you have, so that you can find an award that is appropriate for you no matter where you are in your career. Okay, without further ado, I would like to turn it over to my colleagues Lisa and Emmy from the Fulbright Finland Foundation, and they can talk a little bit about Fulbright Finland, and we will go on to look at the awards that are offered this year by Finland. So Emmy and Lisa, if you can take it away from here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Carlene. The Fulbright Finland Foundation has a long and rich history. Finland was one of the first nations to join the Fulbright program in 1947. And since then, our grant programs and offerings have grown and evolved to align with our brand promise, Together Shaping the Future. We currently offer 15 scholar programs, including 5 distinguished chairs and a mid-career professional development grant. And all of these programs are to a diverse range of Finnish institutions throughout the country and also a variety of disciplines. Most of these programs, with the exception of the mid-career professional development grant, are sponsored awards, and housing is provided and paid for by the host institution. We have approximately 50 to 60 U.S. grantees who come to Finland every year. And I'm an alumna of the program. I came to Finland in 2011, and I'm still here. And I really think that this is a perfect number to build an inclusive Fulbright community of grantees while you're in Finland. So we offer in-person orientation for all the grantees and other special events and programs throughout the academic year. We also have a very active Fulbright Finland Foundation alumni network in the US and also in Finland. And grantees engage with alumni during pre-arrival, arrival, and also throughout their grant term. And then, of course, grantees have the opportunity to get involved after their grant term. Now I want to zoom out just a little bit and give you a little bit of context concerning the higher education environment in Finland. So there are two distinct higher education institutions. The first one is, of course, a university. We have 13 universities in Finland. And these are typical research, teaching, learning, and service institutions. And then we have the Universities of Applied Sciences. We have 22 of these, and they provide education and research that ties directly to professional working life and regional development. So you can see that there is kind of a distinct difference between the two sectors of higher education. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Emmy, who will talk a little bit more about some of our award programs.
Okay, yes, thank you, Lisa. So we wanted to start by telling you a little bit about our brand new and very exciting and timely award opportunity that is called the Seeking Solutions for Global Challenges Award. This new award was created to support our foundation's motto, Together Shaping the Future, and our vision to empower the minds that will find global solutions to tomorrow's challenges by fostering academic and professional expertise and excellence in leadership. So through this new award, we would like to find people who want to impact the future and make a difference through their work. And this is the first application round for this award. And the award is meant for US scholars and professionals who want to come to Finland to work on projects focusing on topics of current and global importance. And when creating this award, we wanted to make it as flexible as possible, so it's available for any field and to any appropriate Finnish institution. And the length of the visit should be something between 2 to 6 months, but there is also a flex option. So the visit can be divided into 2 shorter segments as well. And in the award description, we have listed some possible focus areas, such as global health, sustainability, climate change, cybersecurity, migration and humanitarian crisis, etc. But these are just some examples, and the project can also focus on other topics of current and global importance. Then we also have the All Disciplines Award that is open for academics, for teaching projects, or projects combining teaching and research. And in this category, research-only grants are not possible, but the applicants can discuss the teaching-research ratio with their host institution. So the teaching component can be just separate lectures, or it can be entire models, or even entire courses. But this is up to the applicant and the host institution to decide what is suitable for their visit and for their project. And later during this webinar, we have Katia Confortini joining us, and she actually received this award, so maybe she can also tell how she organized her teaching and research duties in Finland. And also this award has the flex option, so it's possible to divide the visit into two shorter segments. And then Lisa will continue about our Distinguished Chair Awards.
Thank you, Emmy. The Distinguished Chair Partnership Awards are our most prestigious grant programs. They are unique in the sense that they're all sponsored awards. For instance, we have partnered with the Nokia Foundation to offer the Fulbright Nokia Distinguished Chair. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through each of these awards. So let me highlight each Distinguished Chair quickly. First of all, we have the Fulbright Bicentennial Chair in American Studies. This is the oldest Distinguished Chair. It was launched in 1976. And this chair is for full or associate professors to undertake a 9-month lecturing award with the University of Helsinki Department of Cultures. A special perk that comes with this chair position is housing in the beautiful and fully furnished Bicentennial Residence, which is a 3-bedroom, approximately 1,700 square foot apartment that's located in the heart of the historic university community. The second Distinguished Chair is the Fulbright Aalto University Distinguished Chair. And this award offers a 3 to 9 month grant for research and teaching in the 4 disciplines that are on the slide. And of course, this is hosted by Aalto University, so they provide the housing. Aalto University is an interesting institution. It was established in 2010. In a merger between 3 universities, and it's a very innovative, kind of creative institution. And Joshua Pierce, he will speak later on in the webinar about his experience as a Fulbright Aalto University Distinguished Chair. The third Distinguished Chair is the Fulbright Honkin Distinguished Chair in Business and Economics. And this is for full or associate professors to lecture and research for 2 to 12 months. The Honkin School of Economics is the oldest business school in Finland, and it is located in Helsinki, and it's also a Swedish-speaking institution. And of course, the housing is provided by Honkin. And then we go to the Fulbright Nokia Distinguished Chair in Information and Communications Technologies. This is a 3 to 9 month research and teaching award to any Finnish higher education institution. So this one is unique in the sense that you can choose which institution you would like to be hosted by. And then of course, in this one, the housing is provided by the host institution. And finally, we have the Fulbright Sastamoinen Foundation Distinguished Chair in Health Sciences. And this is a very unique partnership between the Sastamoinen Foundation, the University of Eastern Finland, and the Fulbright Finland Foundation. And this is for 2 1-month visits over 2 consecutive years. And then, of course, the housing is provided by University of Eastern Finland. And now I'm going to pass off to Emmy, and she can talk to you more about Scholar Partnership Awards.
Yes, so in addition to the Distinguished Chair Awards, we also have many other partnership awards for US scholars. And as you can see, there are awards that are open for all scholars, including early career, but also awards that are meant for scholars with more experience. And the first one listed in the slide is the Fulbright Haga Helio Scholar Award. And this award is meant for teaching at the Haga Helio University of Applied Sciences. So this is a great opportunity to visit a Finnish working life-oriented University of Applied Sciences. And this award is mainly meant for teaching, but the scholar will also participate in the ongoing research development and innovation activities at Haga Helio. And the award can be awarded to any field, and the fields offered include, for instance, tourism management, communication, international business, hospitality, and vocational teacher education. And then we have the Fulbright Tampere University Scholar Award that is open to all disciplines. And Tampere University is one of the biggest and most multidisciplinary universities in Finland. And its strength lies especially in its research and teaching on technology, society, and health. Then the Fulbright Duos Scholar Award is another opportunity to visit a Finnish University of Applied Sciences. And this award is meant for teaching mostly at the master's level in the fields of business administration or engineering and technology. Then the Fulbright University of Turku Scholar Award is also open for all disciplines. And the University of Turku has 7 faculties that are education, humanities, law, medicine, science and engineering, social sciences, and School of Economics. And in addition to these faculties, research activities and learning takes place also in 5 different independent units, such as Turku Bioscience Center. Then we have 3 awards that are meant for senior level and more experienced scholars. The first one listed in the slide is the Fulbright Sastamoinen Foundation Grant in Health and Environmental Sciences, which offers an opportunity for lecturing and research visits at the University of Eastern Finland. Then we have the Fulbright University of Vaasa Scholar Award that is meant for research in the business and technology-driven University of Vaasa. And lastly, we have the Fulbright VTT Grant in Science, Technology and Innovation that is meant for research at the VTT Technical Research Center of Finland. And in addition to our Scholar Awards, we also have grant programs for professionals. For example, the Mid-Career Professional Development Program is unique for Finland, and this has been a very popular program among professionals from different fields. The award is aimed for mid-career professionals in various fields to grow their professional expertise and gain new insights through a project related to their profession. And during their visit, the grantees conduct a professional development project in one or more host organizations in Finland and then bring back something new to their field in the US when they return. And the project may include studies, practical experience in actual operations, visits to organizations, public lectures, or other appropriate professional experiences. Then we have 2 other categories that are open to professionals as well. The Seeking Solutions for Global Challenges Award and Fulbright VTT Grant in Science, Technology and Innovation. So these 2 categories or in these two categories, PhD is not required. They are open for both academics and professionals.
Thank you so much, Emmy. I actually have two questions that came in that relate directly to the awards that I thought you could answer at this point. The first one is the language requirement. Could you address whether the applicants need to know Finnish to be able to apply for these awards?
No, the applicants don't need to know Finnish because English is very widely spoken in Finland, so it's quite easy to manage with English. And many universities have courses in English, and so it should be easy with English.
Okay. Thank you. And then the other question is, are there any awards that are available during summer session?
It is possible to apply for the for visits during summer if it works for the host organization. So in Finland, usually it's really quiet at universities during the summer, so it might not be the best time to visit Finland, because then it can be more difficult to meet people and work and collaborate. But it can be possible if it works for the host organization.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, can I just pop in here?
Sure.
One thing that I think is really important for all of the applicants to know is that Finland traditionally goes on holiday for the month of July. And that actually begins kind of midsummer, which is the end of June. So that's something to keep in mind as you're also getting your application together, is that many university departments are completely shut down for the month of July. And we're even talking about professors. So this is something that you definitely want to think about, you know, as far as your timeline goes for applying. Because this is, it's very common here in Finland that everyone goes on holiday for the month of July.
Thank you so much for sharing that. What I'd like to do now is I'd like to move on to our alumni from Fulbright Finland. So we'll start off with Dr. Katja Comfortini, and you can see some of the information about her, her activity, her project online, but I will let her actually talk, introduce herself, and tell you what she did on her Fulbright Award to Finland. So, Katja.
Okay, thank you all. Thank you, Emmy, Lisa, and everybody at Fulbright Finland Foundation. I had a really incredible experience. The reason I chose Finland was because I have a long-standing relation with scholars in Finland. Finland is, like other Nordic countries, has a long tradition of peace research, and the Tampere Peace Research Institute was founded by an act of parliament, I believe, well, I'm not sure when, so I shouldn't say exactly when, but is a very prominent peace studies research institute. They have graduate degrees, master's level, and PhDs, and the researchers there are well known all over the world for the research that they do, particularly in feminist peace research. And because I had these long-standing collaboration, that my application was, I didn't apply anywhere else for Fulbright, but there it was kind of natural. We had also ongoing projects, two edited books, one with someone that navigates between peace research and global health, and that book we completed there, and then another one with the scholars at the Tampere Peace Research Institute. As Emmy said before, I had an all-discipline award. So I was I agreed to teach a course in their master's program. The course was called Gender War and Peacebuilding, and it was an adaptation to the graduate level of a course that I also teach at my institution. It didn't take a lot of changes because while at my institution I teach that course over 13 weeks, course time is much shorter. At Tampere, I'm not sure about other universities, but at Tampere University, the length of a course, of a normal course, is 8 weeks. So basically the intensity of the course made so that I could teach the same content but in a much shorter time and adapt the assignments to a graduate level class. The fact that I had long-standing relations made it obvious for me to apply to Finland, but through connections, the connections became a lot more intense and with a lot more scholars than I previously knew. So now I am also affiliated with the Global Health and Social Policy Institute network there, and I continue to have relations with the gender studies people. So my network of contacts widely expanded, and so now we're working together on different grants, both within Finland and also like broader international grants. I didn't bring my family there, but my family came to visit, and the university was incredibly generous in giving me an apartment that accommodated guests, even if not regular, and even if that wasn't, they didn't come regularly, but I had often guests that could stay with me. I have to say that not only Fulbright Finland Foundation is incredibly well organized in terms of helping you make connections with each other and with your host institution, providing all sorts of assistance for like the bureaucracy that can be a little bit tricky in Finland for residence permits and stuff like that. Acculturating us to Finland and to the many pleasures of living in Finland. But also the institutions are incredibly welcome to international scholars. Tampere specifically is engaged in an internationalization of its in university. And so they really welcome scholars from a number of countries in the effort to really expand their outreach and their connections with outside institutions. I'm not sure how I'm doing with the time there. Okay.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. I think that we should move on to Joshua just so that we can allow time for questions and answers. And as you put questions in the question box, I can see some are coming in. If you have specific questions to either of our alumni, also make a note there, and we can have them address something that came up during their talk. So thank you very much, Katia. Now we're going to move on to Joshua Pierce, who was a Fulbright Scholar, and I will allow Joshua to share a little bit about his experience in Finland.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk to all of you. And I have to say, if you're even thinking about doing a Fulbright in Finland, you should absolutely do it. So I chose Finland really for three reasons. The university that I work at is at Michigan Tech, but I actually live in a community where Finlandia University is headquartered. And so I'm not Finnish myself, but Finland is definitely looked at very favorably in the community. And so it's always been kind of an interest of mine. But then professionally, one of the top solar cell researchers in the world, happens to be at Aalto University, and had, at the time, the world record for a new type of solar cell. And so when I was thinking about what to do for my sabbatical, learning that technique was extremely interesting to me. And then the last reason was personal. I have four children, and, you know, I want them to get the best possible education that they can get. And, you know, Finland is consistently ranked either at the top or very near the top of education in the entire globe. And so I called up Haley Savin, who is the researcher. She's an expert in black silicon, and kind of talked through a little bit about what I thought that I could do with her. And we hit it off quite nicely, and she invited a couple other professors because I do both solar cell research and a lot of 3D printing stuff. And so I also got in contact with her colleagues in the College of Engineering and Mechanical Engineering that were more on the additive manufacturing side. And so we put together a project, and everything went rather smoothly, really quite nice. There are some things that, as an experimentalist in particular, you need to be aware of in Finland. It took me much, much longer to get set up than I had anticipated because, you know, here in the States, maybe not right now during the pandemic, but normally if you want something, you just buy it and it shows up 2 days later. You know, and I live in a pretty, you know, out-of-the-way place, and I'm sure, you know, most of you in New York or California can get things even faster. But in Finland, there are purchasing requirements, and it's very difficult to import things. And so everything takes longer. So it takes a lot of planning and preparation ahead of time. And I would strongly recommend anybody doing experimental work where you need something, you should bring it with you. I did bring a bunch of 3D printers, but I was still, you know, it took me like a month to get bolts the first time. But after you learn the method, things go much, much faster. I would also strongly recommend from a professional standpoint that you take the 9-month sabbatical Fulbright partnership if you can, because it will allow you to really get integrated into their system. It takes a while. Some of the really refreshing things about Finnish people in general is there's just no BS. So if you say you want to work on a project, they take you completely seriously, and they're going to help you make that project happen, and they just go right to it. And so that part is really, really good, but getting the connections and, you know, you're not meeting people randomly in the hall to chit-chat, that doesn't exist. And so that takes a little bit of time. And so it took me a little bit of time to warm up, and then took off quite nicely. So I actually am maintaining a visiting professorship there and co-supervising a student who also won a Fulbright to come to the U.S. and visit my lab and do some work here as well. I've been collaborating with many people that I met there. We've continued to publish papers together, exchange students. It's been really, really extremely rewarding. And it just not professionally. So I believe that winning the Fulbright Distinguished Chair with Aalto helped me to get an endowed chair at my own university. That happened right after I came back. But it's also been exceptionally good for my family. So I went over with four small children, one extremely small baby, and my wife. And it was in the very beginning, it was a very scary experience. You're in a different country. You don't know how anything works. It was very challenging to get to Finland itself. I live in Michigan, and I had to go to New York with my entire family to prove that we were who we said we were. And so that's something that all of you considering going to Finland need to work out. I think there's two places in the U.S. that you need to show up physically. And if you, for instance, live in New York, it's trivial, but for us it was a major family adventure just to get that part out of the way. But then once we got here, it has really changed the way my children especially think about school and really how our family operates. So when we were there, we enrolled them in full-scale Finnish school. And before we went, we took a kind of a Finnish language class at the local college. And that was, again, a good learning experience for everybody. But just how to take a college class, and these are little kids, and you know, you have homework, you got to actually learn things. And then that got them enough so that they felt comfortable kind of doing the basic pleasantries. But then to get thrown into a full Finnish lecture in actual Finnish school, I think was, you know, you learn by fire, travel by fire. It was really, really good for them. The Finnish education system truly is superior. There's no question about it. You can talk to one of their elementary school teachers for 5 minutes and you can see it. All of them have master's degrees. They're all research-based masters, so they're doing academic experiments on their own students during class. They have very small class sizes, very hands-on, very hardcore. And the classes themselves are, the time that the students spend in school is short. They have physical activity almost every hour. It's much different than kind of what we get here in the U.S. And so my kids all loved it. Now, we were, of course, weren't sure this was going to go well, and we didn't know if they were going to learn anything because we didn't really speak the language. So what we did is we homeschooled while we were there at night and had them go through the kind of finished curriculum during the day. So that was for enrichment and like really getting a better understanding of the world. And then at night we did like all just the basic minimums for the Michigan curriculum. And it turned out that particularly my two eldest really took to finished education. And the stuff, the Michigan stuff they were learning was trivial in comparison. It was much, much lower, much less rigorous, just a joke. And so when we came back, we actually continued homeschooling. And I realized probably everybody on this call that has children is homeschooling right now anyway, but we just stuck with it. When you think about it from the student's perspective, you can spend a few hours a day of concentrated learning, with kind of like the Finnish approach, versus spending hours and hours of no recess and no going outside and no extracurricular activities in a standard school setting. That's not even a comparison. So it fundamentally changed, I think, the trajectory that my family was going on the educational front. And professionally, it's been an enormous asset to me. One of the other things that Fulbright offers while you're in Finland, and I assume the other countries, is you can take short trips to go do little collaborative talks or meet other people throughout the rest of Europe. I went to both Italy and France, and both of those resulted in deep collaborations that are also continuing today. So I had a truly kind of life-changing experience. I cannot say enough good things about Fulbright Finland.
Thank you so much. And Josh, I did have a question come in that was asking how old your children were when you were in Finland. If you could just address that, it's kind of relevant to what you just shared.
Yeah, so it was kind of like fifth grade, second grade, kindergarten, and baby at the time. So they're all very young.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. So just a briefly, I want to get to the questions and answers, so I will go through this. When you're trying to understand the awards, I just want to point out that there are four distinct tabs that give you different information. So please take time to look through the award details on the first tab, the award requirements on the second tab, which will help you determine eligibility, the stipend and benefits that you receive. Again, those vary award by award just because some of them are partnership awards and might have different offerings. And then finally, the country and area overview. So again, please take time to look at all of the tabs to make sure that you do fit within the requirements for the award. As far as your project statement, basically it is a 3 to 5 page summary of your proposed project, including what you plan on doing if you're proposing research and the specific courses or lectures that you plan on delivering if you plan on teaching your research methods and whatnot. And you want to explain the anticipated impact of your award on your hosts, your home institution, and your own career. Additionally, we have the opportunity to provide supplemental information in the questions, why Fulbright, why Finland, how adaptable are you, and then how would you adapt your materials to the host institution. So if you are considering an opportunity at Fulbright Finland, I would encourage you to start an application, even if you only start to input your information in and select the award for Finland. That will allow us to reach out and provide some additional resources and opportunities as we approach the deadline. Now I'd like to ask Emmy to just say a word about letters of invitation, because I am getting a few questions about how to go about getting a letter of invitation, what that process is like, and is it too late to start now getting the letter of invitation? So Emmy or Lisa, if either of you could talk a little bit about the letter of invitation requirement and how you recommend the scholars go about and professionals go about getting this invitation.
Emmy, would you like to take this? Are you muted? Okay, well, since she's not on, I'll go ahead and jump in here. You know, we would suggest that, first of all, you tap into your network. I think, as both Joshua and Katya have said, they both had some sort of individual that they were specifically, you know, inquiring whether or not they could come up with some sort of project. So that would be the first thing, is to really look at your network and see if there's anyone that you know in your field who's working in Finland or who may know someone in Finland. So that would be the first step. And if you come up blank there, then there are options to go ahead and just send emails to those individuals that you have researched. So looking at some of the institutions where your discipline is offered, and then you know, looking at their CVs and just introducing yourself, sending your CV, and seeing if something can come from that. I've actually seen a few of those coming through just recently, so that's also a way to do it. So I think that you have some options as to how you approach it. And then, of course, you know, we are always happy to help, and then we also have institutional contacts that, and their email address is on our website and also on the IIE website. So you can look at their email address and go ahead and send them an email at the university to see if they might have some contacts for you. So it's kind of just putting information out there to see who, you know, what would be a good project and who would be a good host for you.
Sorry, I wasn't able to unmute myself for some reason. But maybe I could add that I think now it's a good time to start contacting those potential hosts, because during the summer months it can be really difficult to reach out, because most people are on holiday. So if you're planning to apply, we recommend that you start thinking about the potential hosts as soon as possible now in May and maybe June.
All right, thank you very much. Just to give you an idea about the application cycle, I want to remind you first and foremost that September 15th is the application deadline. And at this point, you will also need to upload your letter of invitation, and all of the letters of recommendation, the two that you need, will be necessary. You will find out sometime around November or January whether your application has been forwarded on to Fulbright Finland. And at that point, the Fulbright Finland Commission will review the applications, and they will make decisions about who they would like to offer awards to. Once they make their decisions, then you will be notified by email about that opportunity. And finally, I'd like to just encourage you to stay connected with Fulbright as well as Fulbright Finland. You had their handles all earlier. Here are some of the handles that we have at the Fulbright office here in Washington, D.C. You can email us at europeeurasia@iie.org with any questions. And now I'm going to turn it over to your own questions. And so I will start asking questions that you guys offered in the box. So I will start over here with Emmy or Lisa. We have a question. Are there any research-only opportunities in Finland? Why is it necessary that many of them have a teaching component to them? So if you want to unmute yourself and answer that question. Okay, Emmy.
Thank you. So yes, we have several awards that are available also for research-only projects. So from the distinguished chairs, I think at least Hanken distinguished chair award is open for research projects, and maybe Lisa can add if there are any other And then the Fulbright DGT Award is open for research projects. So there are several awards also for research only projects.
Okay, then there is another question about one of the distinguished chair positions in American Studies. If this person has extensive teaching experience but a limited number of publications, are they still eligible to apply for the Distinguished Chair in American Studies Award? Emmy?
Maybe Lisa can better
okay.
reply to this question.
Okay, Lisa.
Okay, thanks. It said that I was muted by the organizer, so I was trying to unmute. I'm not quite sure what happened there, but sorry about that. Can you ask the question again?
Sure. There's someone who's interested in the Distinguished Chair in American Studies Award, and they have extensive teaching experience in American Studies, but a limited publication record. Are they still eligible for that award?
Well, I would say it never hurts to try. You never know, of course, who you will be competing with. So if that award really speaks to you, it might be worth applying. It is, you know, it is a 9-month teaching award. And of course, most of the previous bicentennial chairs, they also do research on the side. So it really depends on, you know, your kind of where you are in your career and if it's the time to do it now or maybe wait a few years where you have a little bit more research. I do think that in the most part, the previous bicentennial chairs, they've had kind of definitely teaching, but then also some research. So it's hard to say either way because you just don't know who you will be competing against.
Thank you so much. I think that's actually great advice for all of the awards because the applicant pool does change year by year, and so you always want to put your application in for the award that best matches your current situation. All right, for Fulbright Finland, I have another question about artists. Are there any specific awards that you would recommend for artists?
Yes, there is a Distinguished Chair, the Fulbright Aalto University Distinguished Chair. It does include 4 disciplines, and one of those is art. And so that's something that you might want to look into to see if they have your specific field at Aalto University. And Emmy, can you think of any others that might apply? She must be muted.
Mm-hmm. I think she's muted. Okay, so I would encourage Emmy to...
Now,
oh, there you are.
Can I add something? Sorry, it said that I was muted by the organizer. So then we also have the Meet Career Professional Development Program, and that is available for artists as well. And we've actually had some grantees and artists in that category. So that's also one option.
Thank you very much. And I have another question about experience in Finland. One person is asking if their experience in Finland will work for or against them in a Fulbright application. So if they have extensive experience versus limited experience. And I was wondering if you could talk to that.
We've had many grantees who have previous experience on Finland, so that's not that's not usually a problem for us. So it's possible to apply also in that case.
Also, on the flip side of that, we've had applicants who don't have experience in Finland, and they, you know, in their project description, they talk about why they want to get experience in Finland. So I think either way you approach it, with a lot of experience in Finland or very little, I think if you talk about that in your application, then that might showcase how you're a great applicant and you're a great fit. So I don't think it matters the amount of experience that you have in Finland.
Thank you so much for answering that really clearly. I have a question now for Dr. Pierce. Did you know the person who sponsored you before you contacted them regarding your Fulbright idea?
I didn't know them personally. I don't think I'd met her at a conference, but I think we knew of each other. And similarly with the 3D printing professors, so we circled in the same general pool but never actually met.
All right. Thank you so much. That is helpful for people who are reaching out to get invitations. Fulbright Finland, if you could talk a little bit more about the Mid-Career Professional Development Award. There are a couple questions coming up. First, the idea that if you apply for that award, is it possible to work with Finnish educators in the educational system? And then the other question was, do you need to be an academic to apply to the Mid-Career Professional Development Award? So there's a little bit of uncertainty about that award. If you could explain it one more time, that would be great.
Yes, sure. So the Mid-Career Professional Development Program is meant for professionals, and this award cannot be used for academic research. So it's meant for professional projects. And it's also a very flexible program, so it can be awarded to any field, so also educational institutions can be hosts in that program. And if you're unsure about the host institution and if it's suitable for the program, you can always email us and check. So please feel free to contact us.
Thank you. And I do want to add that in the award descriptions for the Fulbright Finland Awards, Emmy's email is listed in almost all of them as a point person if you have additional questions. You can also reach out to EuropeYourAsia at IIE.org, and I can help you also determine eligibility questions related to the awards in Finland. So please know that we are here to support you. We really want all applicants to be able to submit the strongest application possible. Okay, I have a question here for Fulbright Finland. How open are institutions in Finland to connecting with and possibly inviting a community college professor from a two-year college in the United States? And have you had experience with community college professors in Fulbright Finland to date?
Lisa, do you want to answer, or do you have any tips for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to read the different requirements of the different awards. So some of them may fit you really well. It depends on your discipline, what you're, you know, hoping to do. There are the University of Applied Sciences, which might be a good fit for you because those are more aligned with the professional working life and regional development, so you might find a nice alignment there. So I would just encourage you to look at the awards and see if any of them align with what you're doing at the community college. I don't think it's unheard of that, you know, we absolutely don't look at community college professors. Absolutely we do. if it's a good fit for the award, then I think you should apply.
All right, thank you so much. The next question is for the alumni, so Katia and Josh. The question is, can you talk a little bit about your personal or family budget? Was your stipend sufficient for the times when your family members were with you?
It was, but you should have a substantial nest egg saved up because the banking system is a little bit tricky to navigate. So, for example, you know, you're probably used to walking into a bank. That's not physically possible in Finland. You set up an appointment ahead of time via cell phone and can only get into the bank if you have an appointment. And you probably don't have a Finnish cell phone when you first get there. So you should come with credit cards or a bank account that has like a Visa card attached to the checking account to get started. Then as soon as possible, that's your very first thing. You have to get a phone and you have to get a bank account. And then things are pretty easy to deal with.
Okay. And Katia, did you have anything you wanted to add? You'll first need to unmute yourself.
I should say one other thing in terms of budgeting. In general, things are more expensive than you're used to seeing in the U.S. And one of the ways that you can cure yourself of the price shock is the least expensive flights between the U.S. and Finland go through Iceland. And I strongly recommend doing that, just not to save money on the flight, but also to experience European-level prices. And the Icelandic prices are even more expensive than the Finnish prices. So after you're used to that, and then you go on to Finland, it's like, okay, it's not that bad anymore. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, which is one of the least cost places in the U.S., and going from there to anywhere in Europe is makes your eyes water. But a lot of the ways that the university sets things up makes things relatively easy. So with them taking care of housing in general, you're really only taking care of your food. Your medical expenses are so much less than what you're used to. That is, you save so much there that being able to go out to eat and do things like that, it's not that bad.
All right, thank you so much. It looks like we are approaching the end of our hour, and I see that there are more questions in the question box that I am unable to answer in this current webinar. So I would like to encourage you to reach out again to Fulbright Finland. You have their contact information, or europeeurasia@iie.org. Additionally, if you go to any of the award descriptions for Fulbright Finland, you can see that the bottom right corner, there is a link that says to join an office hour. If you click, every week on Mondays, we have an office hour, and we will have a Europe specialist answering questions about the Europe Eurasia Awards. So please reach out and make sure that you feel comfortable applying. We want to work with you to have the strongest applications possible. And we thank you again for joining us today, and we thank our guests from Fulbright Finland and our alumni also for joining us today. And I wish you all the best of luck as you move forward with your Fulbright application. Have a great day, and be safe and be well. Goodbye.